Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Doug Dietrich performing Faded Love and Maiden's Prayer, two well-known fiddle tunes that Doug arranged for Pedal Steel. I'm Steve Todd, and I want to thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ. Today is part one of our interview with Doug Dietrich, and we're covering the early years of how Doug got started playing pedal steel, early bands, and memorable performances. Doug has played with over 50 bands and has been on many studio recordings, so sit back and enjoy as Doug reminisces about his long career in music. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you. I'm honored.
I'm so excited to talk to you because many people have already mentioned you. Diane Dittner, Grant Haywood, I think Greg and Earl Fries have all talked to you. And I'm sure other people.
Yeah, it would have been Gary Moser. I know you interviewed
Gary
him
Moser,
too.
Even Al Widmeyer. There's so many people that
I played on a CD of Al's.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So your name has been mentioned on many, many
past episodes, so this is
just
great.
Just don't believe what they say.
Okay. So why don't we go way back in time to, I guess, where you're born and grew up and how you got started with music then?
Sure. Well, I've been Waterloo boy all my life. Okay. I haven't wandered. Yep. Traveled a lot with music, but I've always come back to Waterloo.
Okay.
I come from a musical family to the extent my dad played, and both my grandfathers played fiddle, so...
Okay.
I had a fiddle at first, but when I was really young, like 8 or 9 years old, a half size or whatever, but that I didn't seem to take to. But when I was about 10 or 11 years old, I remember one day being in the living room of my parents' house on King Street in Waterloo, and there was a knock on the door. It was somebody from the Conservatory of Music. And I don't know if you realize it, but back then they used to go door to door, really soliciting a lot. And a lot of people started that way. And Mom answered, and I was, you know, kind of nosy, I guess, and got close to the door. They wondered if anybody wanted to take music lessons. He explained a few things, and Mom kind of looked at me, and I said, I do, just from having seen my dad play a little bit and some of the parties and jam sessions he had. He was more bluegrass back then. But anyway, he looked at me, and I think I was 10, maybe, and I said, I want to play guitar. And I only knew an acoustic guitar. That's what I thought I wanted to play. And he said, oh, your hands are pretty small yet, but we could start you on Hawaiian steel. And I didn't know what that was, but that was pretty popular back then.
Oh,
everybody
yeah.
had these little six-string lap steels.
Yep.
That sounded good, so signed me up, and I took 6 lessons. And we were in a group of maybe 6 people. And if little Johnny didn't learn the lesson from the last week, we got the same thing again. We didn't get anything new.
Yep.
So my dad said, well, this is no good. You're never going to progress if we're always doing the same thing. So from there, I went and took lessons with a gentleman named Elmer Reist. Lived off of Victoria Street near Weston's. I always remember that. The smell of bread going to his house. And I took maybe a year with him on the 6-string lap steel. And then he really couldn't teach me anymore. But I made my first recording with him.
Really? Okay.
Silent Night,
wow.
For a Christmas present for my mom and dad. Lost that recording. I don't think I know where that one is.
Now, what kind of recording? Was that? Just on an old reel-to-reel? Or
I think it was a reel-to-reel.
Okay.
That was the big thing. I remember my dad having that, so I'm pretty sure that's what Elmer used. And I would go out a couple times with him. He'd take me to some potential students' home and say, okay, now, this guy's been with me almost a year, and here's what he learned. So I was kind of his example for a while.
That's great. Okay. No problem.
So that was, you know, 10, 11 years old. Actually, when I was 11, my youngest sister was born. And it was right around that time that my dad met Gord Affeld, I believe anyway, who was the first steel player I ever saw. And he was at my dad's house. And there was another gentleman named Rusty Walker who he met around the same time, another very good steel player. Somewhat ahead of his time, he was very progressive, good player. I saw them in some jam sessions and that. And Gord had his triple neck Bigsby guitar, a steel guitar, which was one of the big names back then. I saw him playing that, and then he decided he wanted to build one for himself. And my dad, for some reason, well, my dad was helping him because my dad was, he had a garage, he was a mechanic, but he was also a bit of a tool and die maker too. And he helped with castings and some of the mechanical stuff underneath the steel.
Oh, yeah, because there's so much. So much going on. I should have mentioned at the beginning of the interview how much I admire pedal steel players, because your knees are moving and your feet, like every part of your body is doing a different thing to make the sound come out of the instrument, right?
Yeah, I'm probably prejudiced, but it is a pretty difficult instrument in that respect.
For sure.
And the head's got to be in it all the time, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Dad was helping him build, and he, for some reason, because I played a little bit of lap steel and I was really not taking lessons anymore and just kind of fiddling a bit at home if there was a jam session. He said, I'll build one for Doug, too, and see, maybe he'll play it. And so they built me a double neck, and that's the one I just showed you the picture of.
Okay,
Yeah. And so that's how I got going, and a couple years later, by the name of Howie Dietrich, I was trying to think of the name.
Oh, okay.
Dietrich, but no relation, from St. Agatha, a good singer. He phoned my dad, and I think I was 13 then, and wondered if I could join his band, and Dad said, oh, he's pretty young, I think we better not let him go out yet. So then, within the year, another gentleman called, Don Keyswetter, or Don Keys became his shortcut name, a fiddle player, and he had a band, and by that time, Howie Dietrich had joined with him.
Okay.
So they're both asking my dad if I could join. So Dad said yes this time, and I think he knew Donnie fairly well and felt comfortable with it, and Okay. All the people in the band, he knew them already too.
If I can even just back up to when you're 12, because I just interviewed Greg and Earl Fries, and it's when you're 12, apparently, Earl used to go to your parents' house.
Yes.
And help you along. So Earl would sing songs and play the guitar, and you would be sort of practicing steel at the same time, I guess, too.
Yeah,
right?
I'd play along sometimes, or other times I was just listening. They might have had Gord Affeld or somebody else playing steel, so I'd be listening and drooling probably.
Oh, yeah, but good for you, though. That's great.
But he used to sing a George Jones song I always liked. It wasn't White Lightning, but it was something like that. Who Shot Sam? I believe it was. It was a kind of a comical song. And I always remember begging him to do this song.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not for me to play with him, just to hear him
just
sing
to listen.
It.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, some of the early vocalists were Earl Fries, guys like that. Yeah. And it was a pleasure. But not only when I was 12, that continued throughout my life, that I've had good contact with them.
Okay.
And he would come, and as I progressed and played more, then I eventually played some jobs with Chaparrales. We used to kid that he'd say, I get you in the band, the Chaparrales, but your name would have to be Free, so I'd have to adopt you or something like that. So, you know, never did join the band, but I did play some jobs, which was always fun.
All right, here's a recording done by the Haywood family that Doug plays the steel on. It's called Roof Over My Head. It starts off with Earl Haywood's original version of the song, and then it just gradually moves into a Western-type swing arrangement. So let's have a listen to Roof Over My Head.
Over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you, where we can have peace of mind and be happy all the time with love in my heart just for you. I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you. We can have peace of mind and be happy all the time with love in my heart just for you. I came in this world with nothing and I'll leave with just the same. Makes no difference up above. What's my name? I want a roof over my head and bread on the table and love in my heart just for you.
So your first band, I guess this is with the two gentlemen you just mentioned. It's called the Rhythm Ramblers?
Rhythm Ramblers, that was the first one. And I played first job on a Sunday afternoon at the Palace Gardens in Formosa.
Okay, yeah.
And it was a five-piece band then, and it gradually whittled down to three. And that's where, coincidentally, I first ran into Grant Haywood, who's become, we're great friends, and we do a lot of work together, produced somebody's album together and stuff like that. Yeah. But I didn't actually meet him. The Rhythm Rambler Band, and I didn't drive yet then, because I was 14, 15-ish then.
Okay.
We went up to Formosa, thinking we were playing at this same place on a Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we get there, and there's a band setting up already. And here it was Earl and Martha Haywood, and Grant would have been playing drums. It was determined that they were booked first. We turned around and drove home. Wow. But that was my first encounter with the Haywood family.
Yep.
Not that I really met them or anything, but then around the year 2000 when I got involved with the Barn Dance, then Grant and I became very close.
Okay, yeah.
He's a great buddy.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah, very talented man.
And it's, I can see from your notes you made $11. That's how much you, I guess the typical payment would be. Yeah,
$55 for a five-piece band.
Yeah, wow.
And when we got to $100 a night, we thought, boy, will this ever go? You know, that's a lot of money for people.
But hit the big time. Yeah. Unfortunately, nowadays, though, the dollars have gone, not that low, but they've gone south, too. So it's a real shame.
Yeah, I always feel privileged. You know, I'm getting old and getting near the end of my music career, but I think we were lucky to live through the good years of music. I never did it as a full-time thing, but I did a lot of playing in the 70s and 80s. There were, you know, times we played six nights a week. One year we played the Manor Hotel in Guelph, and they used to book one band from Monday to Wednesday and then another band Thursday to Saturday. And they had their whole year booked for Thursday to Saturday, but they wanted to book us. So we ended up playing 3 or 4 months every week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, really?
At the Manor, yeah. And the Wednesday night became just as good as the Saturday nights because we were a new band and the people liked us, I guess.
Okay.
And then eventually they just booked the band for the whole week. But
we
kept very busy. We might play Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday there, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, another hotel.
Oh, you're kidding. And also you're working full-time too, right?
I was the only one working.
Once
it was down to a trio, and was, by that time it was called Nashville Express.
Okay.
So the Rhythm Ramblers kind of transformed into Nashville Express. And it was full-time for the other two, basically.
Yep.
And I was working at Mutual Life. I started in 72 and worked there until I retired, basically.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah, it was great times, though. We did a lot of playing.
Yeah, I used to do that quite a bit, too. I would play up to 7 nights a week and then work during the day, too. And I I couldn't do that anymore.
No, I couldn't anymore either.
Yeah.
And even then, I'd find some days that I just need one down day, you know, just take off. And naturally, I took a day off work, a sick leave at work, because couldn't miss a band job, you know.
Yeah.
Don't tell them.
Yeah. A pedal steel question for you, because I've never played pedal steel. Do your hands sort of cramp up? Because I know I've played dobro just from doing the finger picking.
Mm-hmm.
I often get pain in my wrist and my arm and stuff.
Maybe a little bit, but not so much over the years as much as now, just getting arthritis. And see, my fingers are starting to bend and the knuckles aren't.
Yeah.
So I got things in my head that I know how to play that my fingers won't do anymore.
Okay, yeah.
That's not real bad, but you know, I don't get limbered up as quickly as I used to either.
Yeah.
I don't.
I'm just thinking, because like 7 nights a week or 6 nights, you know, to do that day after day after day, your hands got to...
Yeah. In that respect, it didn't bother my hands. Maybe sometimes you feel like, oh, I can't sit anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
But I used to play bass a little bit too.
Okay.
Because the bass player played fiddle, so then I play bass and maybe sing a few songs or something. I didn't get tired or sore that way so much. And when you played 7 nights, then the fingers would stay in good shape. Now I don't play enough to really, especially this year.
Oh, yeah,
to
really, is a real shame.
Yeah, really keep on top of it. But
okay.
It's the right time for love song. Only I could ease your mind. Happiness ours forever, please don't change your mind. I've lost in love, but 1,000 times and through the lonely nights I've cried, my life's been filled with bitter feelings. It's an aching deep inside. But then I met you on that first night. Seemed so sweet and kind. I had to have you for my very own. And I knew your love could be mine. It's the right time for a love song.
I could ease my mind. Loving you can be all wrong. You're not the hurt kind. Spend one night long together and through lonely nights are fine. Happiness could be ours forever. Please don't change your mind. Time for a love song. If only I could ease mine. Happiness could be ours forever. Please don't change your mind. Happiness could be ours forever. So please, please don't change your mind.
That was Wayne Diebold and the Galaxies doing their 1979 song, Right Time for a Love Song. Let's listen as Doug reminisces about how the band got started and their musical adventures.
You went from the Nashville Express Band, and then around 78 you joined the Galaxies.
Yeah, that was a great time for dances.
Okay.
Galaxies were Gary Moser, who you've interviewed. You know Wayne Diebold. And Ron Jurchuk was the drummer. And Wayne switched from playing rhythm in the band, because they had another bass player at one time. So Wayne switched from playing rhythm guitar to playing bass, he said, because then I can get a steel player in the group. I knew Wayne a little bit before. So we formed that band. And a couple years later, CKGL was the radio station that was sponsoring a lot of country music.
Okay.
So we entered, around 1979, I think it was, we entered a CKGL band competition.
Okay.
And darned if we didn't win it.
Okay.
Remember being pretty shocked. It was at a mall in Cambridge that they held this on a Friday night and Saturday
yep.
night, and set up the bands, and they had judges there. One of the judges was Joyce Simone.
Oh, yeah.
And I know Gary told you a bit of
yeah.
the story, so I'm being repetitive, maybe.
That's okay.
But it was an interesting time. So we happened to win this competition, and it was, I think, 10 hours of recording time at the Waxworks Studio
oh, okay.
in St. Jacobs. Jim Evans owned it at that time. So we ended up, the band went in and recorded two songs, two that Wayne and I had written. We thought that was going to be it, but Wayne and I decided we had written some other songs, and we thought we'd make an album. So
okay.
it ended up being under Wayne's name, the first concession.
This is the Galaxies playing their song, It's a Crying Shame.
Working all night, trying to make a living, spending my time in a little country band, thinking about a man who lost his loving, want somebody to give a man a hand. Talking to the lady, she's so lonely, wants somebody to love her only. It's a crying shame, but nobody seems to care. Playing in bars and singing my songs while broken-hearted people all are sitting here drinking, hoping someday the true love will come along. Telling sad stories and feeling so blue, they got nothing to live for, nothing to lose. It's a crying shame, nobody seems to care. When I get home from a hot day's night, settle right down and hold her tight. She finds my love and makes me feel like a man. I love that woman just as much as I can. I keep playing these bars and I'll keep singing along by the stick guitar player picks a lonesome song. It's a crying shame, but nobody seems to care.
from a hot day's night. Settle right down and hold her tight. She binds my love and makes me feel like a man. I love that woman just as much as I can. I keep playing in these bars and keep singing along. Thought to stick a guitar player picks a lonesome song. It's a crying shame, nobody seems to care. It's a crying shame, but nobody seems to care.
Hi, it's Steve Todd from Punky Doodles Corners, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS, RadioWaterloo.ca.
So it was featuring Wayne, but we had two instrumentals on there that I did, and those are the only two steel guitar instrumentals that I've recorded over the years.
Really? Okay.
I've played on lots of recording sessions for other people, but always backing them up,
okay,
the singers, which, you know, is more common, obviously. Steel is good for that part of it. So anyway, it led to that recording, and Joyce Simone, being a judge, phoned me within a few months after that and said, would you be interested in being my backup band for some job? So we did some work with her because she lived in Woodstock at that time. And then in 1981, we went down to Ronnie Prophet's club outside of Halifax in Nova Scotia and played for a week there, which was a great time. We had a lot of fun traveling around during the day and then playing at night. And I think Gary told you about some of the stories of that.
Well, just the really, really, the people at the clubs and stuff were just treated like family, I think.
Yes, and very laid back down there. It was kind of, the guys would be sitting there at the end of the night. I think we played till, was it 2 o'clock or only 1 o'clock? But it was later than what it would be now. But, you know, weeknights, and they'd sit there and, yeah, we should get going. I guess it's a work day tomorrow. One guy would say, oh, yeah, we get paid tomorrow, so we better go into work. So,
okay.
But it was very laid back, but very friendly. I remember Eddie Eastman was hot at the time, and he was playing at another bar across town, so we hooked up with them because Joyce knew Eddie. We had played at Rock Hill Park. I don't know if you ever heard of that place.
I don't think so, no.
Up near Orangeville, I think, the other side of Orangeville.
Really?
And it was a park that somebody owned, and they had campers there. And
and you played out on the water.
Yes, on the water. Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Gary might have talked about that.
It was a neat place.
Yeah, okay.
And Eddie, I guess Joyce opened for Eddie Eastman there. So,
were you actually on Ronnie Prophet's TV show, or is it just a club that he owned or something?
It was just a club he owned. Fort Scenic, if my memory's right, yeah. It was a bit run down. I think he had just bought it. The showroom was nice, big ballroom type thing, a big stage, but the rooms, we stayed in the rooms, they weren't really the nicest, but
anyway, it's a nice, probably a great holiday though, like you got and see Nova Scotia. I'd love to go out east at some point in my life.
I've played quite a bit down east with different shows. Been down and worked with Joyce at her Fox Mountain Festival. Okay. Took Sunrise Band down, which we haven't even got to in the conversation
really?
Here yet.
Okay, but. And I think I Googled Joyce Simone, and I think she still played, even last year, like 2019, she actually had gigs and stuff. So
yeah, she came up to Ontario last year, and I played two jobs with her, a show at Purple Hill, and then another thing she did in Woodstock.
Yeah, I was going to say Ingersoll, but it was probably Woodstock. Okay.
Her big hit was Testing 1-2-3. It was, you know, sort of the one big hit she had.
Okay.
And it was, I believe, number one for a while, but it was close to the top in Canada for the year when Anne Marie had Snowbird. I believe it was the same year.
Yeah.
So she wasn't going to beat Snowbird, obviously.
No.
But yeah, so that was her claim to fame.
Someone is you. feel it in your heart. Don't you know there's no need to keep on testing me? To keep on testing me.
You played the Greenwood Rod and Gun, you and
I
think the one time you and I played together was at Greenwood Rod and Gun, and we had Joyce out there one year with us too when the Galaxies were playing the old Rod and Gun too.
Really?
Yeah. I got pictures. I think I got a picture on my wall here.
Yeah.
I can show you that later.
Someplace I have a poster of that Greenwood. There was posters I kept. I kept one.
Yeah.
And we're probably on the same picture, I'm going to guess.
It could be.
Yeah. Okay.
Although I'm a little older, I go way back
when
that first started, you know, and some of those dances. I remember playing a fundraiser in 1967 for the community center in St. Agatha.
Okay, yeah.
It was just a cement slab there at that time.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I remember that so
well. Wow. So you went from the Galaxy, so it looks like you were there, you were playing with like Gary and Wayne, 78 to 85, and then it's like Sunrise kicked in at that point.
Yes. Wayne was moving to Chicago area for work, and we just didn't have a real good replacement, and the band just sort of disbanded. It was a great time, but you know, things come to an end.
Yeah, and even family life and stuff too. Like everything just changes.
Right? And the drummer Ron had moved to Toronto, and so it was just tough to get us all together. Gary and I wanted to keep going, but there just wasn't the potential bandmates there at the time. I had the offer from Sunrise again when I went. It was a 5-piece band, and it went down to 4-piece over the year. And you know at least one of the guys in Sunrise, Ken Meadows, from Tavistock. He was a drummer and a singer. Brian Schlotzauer is singer, guitar player. And three of us have been together since 1985 to the present time and kept pretty busy over those years.
Wow, okay.
We've had various bass players. Bob Weir was the original one. And Al Alderson, who's in Larry Mercy's trio.
Yep, okay.
I think you might have run into Al.
Well, I know the name.
He lives in Goderich now, but
he
played Sunrise for about 10 years, and he's still in the Barn Dance band, my Barn Dance show band.
Okay.
And he's in the Larry Mercy trio, as I said. More recently, we had Bill Simmermaker, who I also did a CD with. Don Maxwell played bass, and now we have Dickie Dugal.
Oh, okay.
I think maybe you've run into
Dickie,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
He's played out at the Ridge, I believe, too, where you have been.
Yeah, and I've seen him at Maryhill a couple times too, doing more of the traditional bluegrass stuff.
Yes, he's in the commercial bluegrass band at
Maryhill. Okay.
Yeah, so he's just joined us last year. He's kind of new playing bass, but he joined us, and unfortunately, we didn't get to work too much with this pandemic.
No, it's a shame. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully, we get back to playing jobs again. But the dances are, as you probably know from playing with Diane, the dances are kind of falling by the wayside.
Oh yeah. Well, just a lot of the stuff we did was around seniors, really, like the legions, and then the dances and our. Our demographic is probably 60 to 80, right? So
that's the word I keep using. Well, demographics are working against us.
Yeah, that's the vulnerable, or the most vulnerable people against COVID-19 is that age group. So
it's hard to say if we ever get really going good again. Because even for the barn dance, which maybe we can talk about at some point too, that tends to be an older crowd because it's traditional country music. And places like Maryhill, Paul's done a great job since 96 when he bought the hotel of fostering, promoting traditional country music, but it's getting tougher. Demographics are working against them there, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a shame.
Yeah.
So 35 years, it's going to be 36 in 2021 that you've been with Sunrise. That's a long time.
Yeah. It was the same. I think we played some of the same songs we did years ago.
Yeah,
it's different. You don't work at it the way you did when you were first starting up.
That's okay. But then, you know, there's certain ones that, I don't know, he Stopped Loving Her Today and those kind of songs that people just want to hear that song.
Yeah.
And
if you need them to get up on the dance floor, Crystal Chandeliers is always the one, eh?
So
all the bands know that.
Yeah, and it's not about you, it's about the, you know, entertaining the crowd. Yep. So
but it's been a great part of my life.
Eh? Oh yeah.
And so much to music, just the friends.
Yeah.
Not just musicians, the crowds too.
Oh, for sure.
Like even during this pandemic, I've had a couple people call me and I went, I wonder why he's calling.
Yeah.
And it's a gentleman who booked us for a show at a church for fundraiser. I helped him out a couple of years. And he called out of the blue, and I thought, well, he can't be calling to book another fundraiser for November because it's not going to happen with this COVID. And I was actually driving home from my cottage and just talked to him on the car phone. And he just said, no, we were just talking and thinking about you, you know, how this has changed your life and wondered if you were okay. And
that's great to
hear. People that you don't even expect, you know, you call them a friend, but you hardly know them. You talk to them once in a while. You see them out there dancing or in a seat at a theater for a show. But just that they would think of you.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of, it's gratifying because it means something over the years you've done right that made it worthwhile for myself to do it and for the people being there.
For sure.
So that's the part of the business I really like.
Oh, yeah.
And what I miss during a pandemic, you miss the people.
Yeah. I was able to do a couple of things. I did a fundraiser in October, and people were so appreciative, and they were just standing up and just applauding just for really, they were just so happy to have music in front of them.
I saw that you'd done that. You raised quite a bit of money, too.
Yeah, it was good. It was a fundraiser for the Brantford Food Bank, and people were really generous, and people actually bought tickets, and because of the numbers were going up, some people just decided they didn't want to risk it, and they just gave their ticket to somebody else, and so we still have a full house, but we actually raised more money.
You would then.
Yeah, so it was a really good time. But
that's good.
But yeah, just again back to the people though, they were so happy to be actually sitting in a function. It was all everybody was socially distanced, but being able to sit and listen to live music. And
here's a song sung by a name Doug just mentioned, Bill Zimmermaker. It's called "Still in These Crazy Arms of Mine," and was co-written with Larry Mercy, who had a big hit with this song. The Barn Dance backup band was Doug Dietrich on steel, Grant Haywood on drums, George Lonsberg on guitar, as well as Mike Slonwhite and Al Alderson. Let's hear one more song sung by Bill Zimmermaker that Doug played on. This is called River of Tears. It was recorded at Bill Braun's studio, and it was a song written by Bill Braun and also featured him on guitar.
to tonight. I always walk away like a loser, no matter how I play my cards. Am I a fool who's just too soft? Why is love so hard? It's rough on the heart, heavy like lead.
Chris Douglas from Cambridge, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio, Waterloo.ca. Right on.
Great tune.
Nice. Yeah, I've played one show since March.
Oh, really?
And that was Purple Hill. I filled in for Steve Smith with the Purple Hill Band. They had a bluegrass weekend. They had some campers there, and the Saturday afternoon was the Purple Hill Band, which was country music. And had several guests booked, and I played steel for that.
Great, okay.
Outside was fine, but otherwise I haven't played
anything. Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah, it's really tough. But I've been with Sunrise all those years, but that's been sort of a, I don't know, maybe a third of what I play in a year.
We
just play dances, but I do a lot of freelancing with other groups.
Okay. And in Sunrise, did you travel at all with that, or is it just strictly...
Pretty much local.
Local stuff.
It was sort of Tavistock, Stratford based, and it's more Stratford to London.
Okay.
We hardly play in Kitchener-Waterloo. We might play the Alora Legion sometimes,
or
the odd thing this way, but it tends to be more Stratford and London. Used to be Circle K. I don't know if you ever heard of that place. That used to... There was years where we played 25 jobs at that one place.
Really?
Because we'd play a Saturday night dance, and then the following Friday night was... singles dance they build it as.
Okay.
So we just leave our stuff set up and
play
following Friday. Sometimes we even practice there. And so that was two jobs every month, and then they booked us for New Year's Eve yet. So we had 25 jobs from one place.
Okay.
Those were the good years. Then that closed down, and there again it was getting into the demographics. The place was not able to keep going quite the same. Yeah, so we played a lot of different things, and that's how I got into playing with so many different bands. Like, if I try to list them all, and I can't remember all the names.
Well, didn't you say 50 different bands or something?
I think I have a list. I've been building this, and it's about 54, 55
You're
names
kidding.
Now.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sure I've forgotten some. And not saying I played in all those bands on a regular basis, because I couldn't, obviously.
Yeah. It's a big show, and they want a sixth person that could play
the steel. Yeah, sometimes it's augmenting, because steel isn't in a lot of bands. So it's a unique instrument, so I did get a lot of work that way. And I've played with Diane Dittner a couple times, but that's when Robert couldn't make it. I filled in for him. Might only be two or three times over the years.
Yeah.
But I just put those people on the list.
Oh, it's great. I've done the same thing, too, and it's just great. You meet so many different people, and maybe they're playing a different style of country or something that you all of a sudden fall in love with that.
Yeah, and it's fun because you can play the same songs that you play all the time, but they might play it in a different key or just at a little different speed or just some different interpretation. And it makes you just have a new liking or new feel for the song.
Yep, and it keeps you on your toes, too, because you can't get stale. Sometimes if you're in the same band for too long, you kind of you get into habits and everything.
Yeah.
So
and not always good habits. You know, you just become a little complacent about it.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, great. So I enjoy that. And I'm lucky. I didn't take a lot of lessons in that. I don't know a lot of theory from studying it, but I've learned a lot over the years, I think. So I have a pretty good appreciation of that. But I'm lucky at being able to sort of sit in and fake. Pick up quickly and get by. You know, if they need a steel break, I can provide it and get it turned around for the singer again.
Oh, for sure.
Thing.
And a lot of it's knowing when not to play, too. Like, just knowing when to back off and do dynamics and
that's
stuff.
That's very important.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And that's what's fun, working with other musicians that know that.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. Sometimes if you play a band, I played with one I filled in, and it was just because they needed another body. The hotel said, no, you can't have a trio. You have to have 4 people. So I played with them. And they didn't need a steel. I don't think two of the guys wanted a steel in the band. And that was just, that was work. That's, when it becomes work, then it's no fun.
No, for sure. Yeah, I've quit bands like that are,
yeah.
I was when you hit the point where it's not, when it becomes a job, right?
So. But for as many different people I've played with in different bands, I've been fairly stable in the groups, you know, long time.
Oh,
with each group.
Well, 35. Yeah. Well, even Galaxies with Gary and Wayne, that was even seven years like that, right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, they've all been fairly long, but it allowed me then to go in and do freelancing, and I got into other shows and got involved with the Barn Dance.
So okay.
A lot of different things.
Before we move on from Sunrise, you just mentioned something about Sobel Oktoberfest, I guess.
That's kind of a funny thing. I used to rent a cottage from a guy who owned the Bel Air Motel at Sobel Beach. He had some extra cottages, and we became friends. Richard was his name, not that it matters, but he knew I was in a band, and we'd talk about it. One year he said, you're in Kitchener, right? I said, well, Waterloo, yeah. He said, that's where the Oktoberfest is. And we've decided at the community center, we want to put an Oktoberfest dance together. So this was probably July when I was there. And he said, could you help me get a band for Oktoberfest from Kitchener area? I said, oh, you're probably not going to have much luck because they book almost 1 year to the next.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a true Oktoberfest band. So as we got talking, more and more it sounded like he really didn't want somebody to play Oompa Paw a whole night.
Yeah, for
sure. Just wanted to have a little bit of Oktoberfest spirit. So long and short of it is, we ended up taking Sunrise by this time, up and played Oktoberfest. And it was a great time. We played some Oompa Paw music, which on steel, I played the accordion parts on steel.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So that was a lot of effort to learn.
Yeah, for sure.
I did a Walter Ostenek type polka medley, and I still play at the odd time, but it was really different to do. And they had their beer drinking competition.
Okay.
I remember one young lady always won it every year. She could outdrink the guys.
Okay.
It was amazing. But yeah, we probably did that 3 or 4 years.
That's great. Good for you.
This variety.
Yeah.
And I had a little bit of Oktoberfest experience when we played with the Galaxies. And Gary, because he played accordion.
Yeah, for sure.
We did the Schwaben Club or something.
Yeah,
right?
Well, he helped us out too because we, having a country band, same thing. We just added Gary and I put on the Lederhosen and all of a sudden we were Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
And same thing, we played rock and country and then we threw in, probably had 10 to 12 Oktoberfest songs and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's all they wanted. Like a lot of people aren't hardcore Oktoberfest all night anyway. So.
Yeah. They just wanted to party at Sobel Beach.
Yeah,
we would. So. Yeah, it was fun though.
Yeah,
I got a song there that we did. Al Alderson who I've mentioned before, his wife's, might be uncle, some relative, we'll say, was in 911 building and passed away as a result of that, or was killed. And we did I Miss You a Little, a song.
Oh, really?
Just Al singing it for his wife's aunt, I believe.
That's the John Michael Montgomery?
Yes.
I guess. Okay,
yeah. And we just did it at George Lonsberry's barn. It was Al singing and playing bass, George on guitar, myself on steel, and George's brother, Dale, on drums.
Okay, wow.
So, but I got a recording of that. Yeah. I don't know if you'd want to play that.
No, for sure. That's great.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah.
I did a recording at George's barn, and he's pretty amazing. He set up all the mics, and
it
was right off the floor.
Yes, but, I heard about that.
Yeah, the neat thing is it's just off the floor, so he just makes sure he's got all the levels set, and you just start going. And it was a cool place to do a recording, though.
Yeah, we used to practice quite a bit there, too, with the different bands or for the barn dance.
Sometimes a song can touch a nerve and brings me back to you. When I pick up my old guitar and I play your favorite tune, and every now and then some little thing I bury comes bubbling up. Once in a while, you feel close enough to touch. I miss you a little since you've been gone. A few little memories keep hanging on. I miss you a little. I guess you would say a little too much, a little too often, a little more every day. When I go by our old house, I pretend you're still there, waiting for me on the porch. It's just an empty chair. Wish I could see you just one more time before I drive away, so I could stop, go inside and say I miss you a little since you've been gone. A few little memories keep hanging on. I miss you a little. I guess you could say a little too much, a little too often, a little more every day. A little too much, a little too often, a little more every day.
Alright, we've run out of time for today's show, but stay tuned for part 2 and part 3 of Doug Dietrich's musical story. In these episodes, we learn about Doug's years playing with the barn dance, his friendship with the Weaver family in the commercial tavern, playing with tribute acts and many bands, and also being called upon to offer his pedal steel playing on many studio projects.
We're going to leave off today with a recording done by Bill Murray from Stratford that Doug was asked to play steel on. This is the George Strait classic, The Fireman. Until next time, it's Steve Todd, and thank you for listening to Musicians FAQ.
My name, making my rounds all over town, putting out a flame. Well, everybody like to have a what I got. Well, I can cool them down when they're smoldering hot. I'm the fireman, that's my name. Last night they had a big one, a mile or two down the road. Well, my body left this woman, she was burning right out of control. I was down there about an hour or so with a little mouth to mouth. She was ready to go. I'm the fireman. That's my name. Yeah, they call me the fireman. That's my name. Making my rounds all over town, putting out all the flame. Well, everybody likes to have what I got. Well, I can cool them down when it's smoking hot. I'm the fireman. That's my name. I got a fire engine red, T-Bird automobile. I can be dressed, fit to kill. I work 24 on and 24 off. When they get too hot, they just give me a call. I'm the fireman. That's my name. Yeah, they call me the fireman. That's my name. Making my rounds all over town, putting out all flame. Smoldering hot, I'm the fireman. That's my name. They call me the fireman. That's my name.
Hi, I'm Ken Crawford from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.